And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Music go. What a weekend, huh?
Oh, boy. Boy, time the bills well. Here's the three department stores and the toy shop. All came in the show.
Should have permitted the theme to go all the way through. If this would be the day, I think, for us to talk as little as possible. In other words, maybe this is the day we should utilize the cast that we pay every week to come in here and fill in.
Well, we could do that. I was kind of thinking we should save them for Friday, which would be maybe even more important than today.
Well, I suppose that's coming up too, New Year's.
Yeah, we'll have we're having no big New Year's Eve party here, cast. If you were wondering.
Oh, I know that. I'm all ready. It's okay. I'm going out with Cesar.
You're going over to the hotel anyway, aren't you?
Sure.
Big party there.
Yeah, well, Cesar and I, have been going out New Year's for almost 3 years now.
I know.
I saw a picture in a paper one time, alighting from an airplane at Ottawa, looked back through that floor.
Yes, yeah.
Boy.
I remember that.
Boy.
You've really been living pretty high there.
Yes.
Or here, I mean.
Yes.
And I hope that you're just taking into account it's all going to have to be paid sometime.
You're
going to have to pay the price.
Enjoy your Christmas.
Yes, I like very nice.
Just change the subject. I don't want to stand here with the spotlight on me, a green one at that, while you tell me about what's right and proper. You two fellows could be the last of prigs.
Look, haven't we always been like fathers to you? Haven't we advised you and counseled you, Webley?
Oh, yes, in a way, but, you know, it's never really amounted to anything, and you never paid me what I was worth.
But what do you think you're worth, to come right down to it?
Well, I'd rather not say that.
I mean, like, what have you planned to do on today's show, for instance?
Well, while during the Christmas week on there, I read a book, and I was prepared to review it. Not only that, but I've got a new player group.
Okay, a new group.
Right, they're not the same old crowd down there.
Okay.
Will Watson, of course, you know, he's not feeling well.
I know.
Ever since
yes.
Christmas party.
Yeah. Well,
I think you like the new player, Runaway.
Okay, well, we'll get to that a little bit later, all right?
Sure.
Because first we have two venerable guests here. I'm Ralph Dale, welcoming you to another session of Open Minded, the hard-hitting, truth-seeking program that avoids no issues. And here today to discuss the decline of rock and roll music are two stanchions of the newscasting business, the recognized dean of the airwaves, Landis Howard Hildebrand, and grand old man of radio broadcasting, Holgate Finley Hudspeth. I think we'll begin with you, Mr. Hildebrand.
Oh, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. Come here. Good evening, everybody. Peaceful night to you. Some of us remember the night.
I think we'll start with you, Mr. Hudspeth. Why has the popularity of rock and roll music declined, sir?
Some of us remember.
Well, first, let me say that it's good talking to you in this good, clean, fresh air. We take too much for granted these days, you know. Don't you agree, Landis?
I agree with you, Holgate. I often wonder what an air conditioner would have been taken for in the old days.
It could have been taken for anything in the old days, Landis. Mother used to have a saying, when she saw something she didn't quite understand, in her calm, gentle way, she'd look at the object in question and say, "Ah, here's something I know nothing about." I tell you, mothers had a way of knowing in those days.
My dad was the same way, Holgate. He was a gentle man. Rapidly moving events passed him by without creating so much as a stir. He once told me that the most important chair in the world was the barber's chair
in the town where we live.
Gentlemen, to get back to the subject, why has rock and roll music tapered off to the point where today you can hardly turn the radio...
Colgate, in the light of new developments, I've reevaluated the remark you made a few moments ago. The one that had your mother looking at a strange object and admitting she knew nothing about it.
What are your current feelings on the thought, Landis?
Well, I now feel that it was something less than a penetrating thought, a profundity without portfolio.
Dean of the airwaves, indeed. Certainly is typical of you, Hildebrand, to discredit and demean.
I do not accept that, sir. I do not accept that at all. I merely brought to light and reconsidered something that had been mentioned earlier. Your witless revival of a dubious childhood memory.
Well, just 2 weeks ago, gentlemen, Swish Swash was in the top 10, but today...
After all, what is there to admitting you know nothing about?
Hildebrand, your father, that provincial pillar of intellect, what did he mean when he assigned such monumental importance to a barber's chair? Perhaps if he'd spent more time at home charting a proper life course for his son, that boy would have grown up truer and straighter, far less likely to, quote, hazy and substantial bourgeois.
That's unkind, sir. Very unkind. He considered the barber's chair a seat of practical learning. To him, it was a microcosm.
So why should Swish Wash, which is in the top
I
ten?
Say to you, Holgate Finley Hudspeth, and I say to you that not only are you deficient in the refinements of human communication?
And I say to you, Hildebrand, any guy who sits in a barber's chair all day long and then goes home to tell his susceptible and somewhat stupid son that he was educated by a few rural buffoons...
You're doing
well,
a great job.
He's got to be a fool.
A great job, Bob and Ray. That did it, Hudspeth.
I'm afraid our guest has moved away from the cold and clinical air of truth we teach on this program. We'll be laboring one another now with slow punches, so it looks as though the imminent demise of rock and roll will have to go unexplained here on today's session of Open Mic. Now, let's see, what does it say here? The Boyd Sisters?
Well, let me get my paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes,
a couple of fellows by that name. The Boyd Boys, they were.
Well, they were singers, too, see?
No, both home deaf. They were nice guys, though. So these girls are on our little network evenings now?
Six nights a week. Double Your Pleasure, they call themselves.
Call themselves? Oh, the show, you mean? Why don't they just call themselves the Boyd Sisters? I mean, we're Bob and Ray. We don't call the show Triple Your Troubles, do we?
Well, I suppose there's a reason. The thing to do is listen. Maybe it's because there's two of them, meaning they double your pleasure with duets.
Twice as good as one singer, huh?
Something like that, I guess.
Have you seen those two chicks? What are they like? I mean, there's two of them.
Well, all I know is that the show comes from Chicago, and ours, of course, comes from New York.
Right. What else?
And, you know, that's all. Just double your pleasure, weeknights and Sundays on CBS Radio.
Well, good. Now, Webb, you said you had a new group of actors.
That's right. You know, who are those boys? I've never heard of them.
Well, I'm going to make a point.
Oh, yeah, listen.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Right here on the Purple York Radio Network.
They're on the CBS Radio Network.
They know what I'm saying. Yes, Bob, downstairs in another studio, I have the Webby Works of Players all set to bring you another one of those great books that I've reviewed.
One of you reviewed that over the weekend.
The Agling Little Book there, The Secret Life of Kids.
Oh, yes. The second of his kids' books, huh?
So anyway, they're downstairs now, all set to bring us what I think is the most interesting part of that book. It starts on page 11 and goes through about page 19.
All right, take it away then.
Ride, Masala, ride and give these bills unto the legions on the other side. Let them set on at once. For I perceive but cold demeanor in Octavius' wing, and sudden push give them the overthrow. Ride, ride, Masala, let them all come down.
Oh, look, Titinius, look, the villains fly. Myself hath to mine own turned enemy. This ensign here of mine was turning back. I slew the coward and did take it from him.
Oh, Cassius, Brutus gave the word too early.
I went for the book. Thank you. Page 11 through about 17.
Doesn't sound like that scene.
Great actors, aren't they?
They're very good, but I think you better get Wolf Larson back here.
Okay. But I was really taken with that fuller's way he converted
around the stage. Good delivery there, yeah.
He doesn't need his microphone to be heard in the
nickel seat. He needs his microphone to be heard in the nickel seat.
They know what I'm saying, Bob. Well, anyway, I hope you read the book, and so long for now. And I'm hurrying home, Cesar.
This is Gordy Burroughs reminding everyone in the audience that it might happen to be yourself. And today, the person who happens to be herself is none other than Toby Raskin, Lady Amateur Athlete.
Hey, Mr. Burroughs, you faded. You'll never get her up on stage.
Well, I wouldn't want her up here in that condition anyway.
Oh.
Maybe the lady sitting next to her. Ma'am, would you like to be the person who might happen to be yourself?
I'll ask her.
Well, I'd love it, but I'm not Toby Raskin.
Well, you sound like her. If you'll follow the usher up here, maybe we can get away with it this way.
No, ma'am. The stage is this way.
Well, Toby Raskin is on her way up here a little bit about this lady amateur athlete. We found out her heart is set on going to the 1960 Olympic Games.
Right up to that microphone.
All right, here's Toby Raskin. And let's give her a real It Might Happen to Be Yourself greeting. Ladies?
Well, thank you very much.
Toby Raskin, we know more about you than you think.
Well, my name is Anita Eberle.
You know, you're broke, and you can't buy the athletic equipment you so badly need. So if you'll turn around and face our gift curtain... That's opening.
Oh,
there it is, a stunningly beautiful, all-purpose, handicrafted gun and alligator shot-put bag. Just what you wanted, Toby, isn't it?
Well, instead of that, can't you send me to the Open Roof Nightclub for an evening of fun and dancing under the stars?
And if you look inside the shot-put bag, I think you'll find something that might interest you, too, Toby.
Well, like what?
Well, like maybe an all-important envelope from a famous industrialist now living in Detroit. A man interested in seeing to it that a certain lady amateur athlete is free from financial burdens so she can devote her full time to practicing.
Well, it's certainly worth a look. Yes, here's the envelope.
Open it, Toby Raskin. I think you'll find you have more friends than you thought you did.
Well, we'll see.
What's inside, Toby Raskin?
Well, it's a check made out in the amount of $5. And there's a letter here, too.
Well, what does the letter say?
I'll read it. $4 is all I had when I came to this country many years ago. I now head 23 corporations. So accept this $5 check with the understanding that you're better off than I was when I first arrived here.
Wonderful. And this is Gordy Burroughs saying, be yourself. It might happen to be yourself here on It Might Happen to Be Yourself.
Lovely feature. I wonder maybe if we could spring a further surprise like that on our audience. They always like surprises, although I'm afraid Toby didn't.
Well, is she all right, incidentally?
Well, Anita Eberle, really.
I know, but Toby is the one that fainted away on us.
Yeah. She didn't miss too much of the program.
I can come up now.
Well,
miss anything?
It's too late, Ms. Raskin. We've finished the feature.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if you meet Miss Eberle backstage after the show, you can arrange to get to the Olympics.
Isn't that too bad? I always was nervous.
Tomorrow we're going to have predictions of what we're going to do next year on this program.
Oh, we are, Bob? I'm not very good at that, but I understand you're not too bad at your predictions.
I've been working on them. I think they make my plan.
In any event, though, we'll be back with our famous last words in just 10 seconds.
Now we're back with our famous last words.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Support the college you choose for your children. This is the CBS Radio Network.